is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WNM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2. I'm your host, Westman of 904, Duval in the building, the host and the face of the franchise. We got some great stuff for you today. We're talking about FAMU sports, lots going on there, actually, even though it's, you know, a calm sports season. We're going to be talking about wrapping up the NCAA basketball season, talking about the NFL offseason stuff, NBA, all that good stuff. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
I'm glad I only got like two shows left, so I don't got to hear this face of the franchise.
We listened to Mr. J School for a long time, years.
It's like I'm glad I'm passing it down to the next generation.
Who are you passing it down to? You on my podcast right
like,
now.
But it's like, wait, bro, I keep telling you this. I made you.
JB, you just have to let me talk sometimes, bro.
You just have to let that slide.
Exactly. You just have to let it slide when I'm talking to him, bro.
The face of the franchise already bad.
You just got to let it slide when I'm saying that.
Excuse me.
I am.
You're not the face of the franchise.
I really am.
Can I do my intro?
Yeah, my bad.
Right. I already know who it was, though. Mr. J School, Michael Trim Jr.
Oh, okay. Yo, what's up? It's your man, Jason Berry, JB the King. We back here with the Playmakers.
What's up, y'all? It's Flo, it's fine. It's Kaji Latica, repping the Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
How you guys doing? It's Joshua Bounce representing the 850.
You already know, it's your boy Chris coming straight from the 352 Gainesville, and he's not the face of the franchise. I haven't seen you on one post of, you know, FAMU J School on Instagram.
If we're going off of that, Jeff's still the face of the franchise. Yeah, hey. Mm-hmm. Jeff won't get off that page. He hasn't been here in a minute.
Lasting legacy.
Shout out Jay Scott.
But listen, shout out him.
Yeah, shout out Jay Scott, man.
But listen, FAMU's in a bit of trouble. Josh, tell us about it, man.
Already. So, fellas, unfortunately, back on Friday, FAMU football was banned from postseason games due to academic issues. Fellas, how do we feel about this?
It's a disgrace.
Yeah, most definitely.
That's just disappointing and disgrace.
That's a bad way to start, you know, your new tenure as a head coach of a football program is, you know, having your team suspended, you know, from the postseason and all types of postseason plays that include Celebration Bowl and the, what's the tournament that we could play in potentially?
Talking about the FCS playoffs?
Yeah, that's what it is. The FCS playoffs, the 2014 playoff that we're suspended from as well. So, yeah, that's just a bad way to start your program.
And the crazy thing is, it's not even Quinn Gray's fault. It's literally, so the threshold that the Rattlers needed to make, it's called APR. Excuse me, I don't know what APR stands for, but basically the threshold was 930. And in May 2025, the Rattlers are at 9/11, and they haven't met the 930 threshold since 2018-2019.
Mm-hmm. Academic progress rate.
So question for y'all.
It's for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Who do y'all blame for this happening?
The athletes.
It's on both fronts. Do y'all blame the coaches at all? I
blame the coaches, but I also blame the FAMU athletic department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there has to be some accountability, but
it's on multiple fronts here. It's on the it's definitely on faculty, but at the same time, it's on the students. Like Marva Johnson, of course, she states that this is not on the athletes; it's on the faculty. But the reason why it's on both ends, right? Student athlete wise, you have to maintain a 2.3 GPA in order to be eligible, right?
2.3? I thought it was 2. It's not 2.0.
That's high school, I think.
Is it 2.3 for D1?
Right. That is high school. You're right. It's 2.3.
But yeah, all you have to do is manage a 2.3 GPA. That is barely above a C average.
That's a C plus.
Like, you should know what classes you're failing in. Now, don't get it twisted. Being a student athlete isn't easy, especially when you're in college. Like, you have multiple workouts, and a lot of the times, your first workout is at like 5 a.m. in the morning. So already your day starting early,
we
but
ain't
still.
A pass for that.
They got study halls. It's not like we win in Josh.
Like, it'd be different.
Here's the thing, bro. We're not giving them a pass for that.
I'm not giving them a pass for that.
You signed up to try to take your game to the next level. That's on you. And these teachers, they already say, we'll cater. We know you're a student athlete. Mm-hmm. We're going to cater to you a
little bit. Work with me and I'll work with you.
Exactly. Work with me, I'll work with you. But if you're not doing your work, then I can't work with you.
Yeah. And we all know some student athletes. We've had some in J school with us, and they get their work done. But it seems like the team can't get it done.
Nayron was just fine.
Nayron got all his work done.
So did like FAMU not have an idea this was happening before Quinn Gray? Like,
I mean, you have to know.
It's been happening for a long time. You go back to 2015.
Because I would feel horrible
2018,
for him.
2019. That was the last time we were
at the threshold.
Made the threshold.
But even before that, in 2015, football, men's basketball, track and field, and cross country all received postseason bans. Mm-hmm. And then in 2019, you know, when we had like 30 plus player suspended. That came from 12 sports student athletes, 93 student athletes in 12 sports being improperly certified from 2010 to 2017.
That's crazy work.
So here's my thing though with that. I feel like this is now, you know, brought to the light because again, everything gets swept on the road when you're winning. Mm-hmm. It was like, shoot, we were winning. Shoot, what switch is on the road? Now, two back-to-back losing season, disappointing season. Now, let's let everything get brought to the light.
And APR is in over 4 years, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so we couldn't get any, like, we couldn't have any sort of athletes get a good grade because there's some turnover, especially with the transfer portal these days. These aren't the same guys. This isn't a couple of people failing over and over. This is a whole team.
Jeremy Musa came from Vanderbilt. Like, come on.
Yeah, like, so we just could not get it together.
Like, nobody got any good grades on the team.
And that's three I mean, it's not three coaching staffs because Quinn Gray hasn't taken over yet. But Quinn Gray is going to have to deal with the consequences in his first season, which is just unfortunate way to start his tenure. Colsey, what was Colsey doing? What was Willie Simmons doing?
But that's what I'm saying. We can't really say it's on winning. Quinn, yeah, we can't really,
I guess.
It's both of their faults, in a sense. But also, I think it, so for us, does this change the way we kind of expect, like, our expectation with Quinn, knowing it's like, even if you do good, you can't even reach.
Bro, it's hard to, like, care about.
That's my point, though, JB. It's like, how are we supposed to really, like, say, okay, you had a great season when it's like your end result is basically going to be regular season, that's it. You can't even take the team where you want to take them.
I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, though, right, you always want to make a great impression for your first-time head coach, right? Mm-hmm. Quinn Gray, again, is one of our Hall of Fame athletes. He was our quarterback that led us to success, you know?
Yeah.
And from what I've heard from players talking about how they love Coach Gray and how he has reinstilled the fire as to why you play FAMU football, as to the passion behind it, I don't really see the players basically saying, oh, what's the purpose of even giving 110%? We're not going to be able to play in the postseason. I think that they are going to go out there and show out for Coach Gray.
Well, I feel like, kind of to your point, Dan, I feel like if they do and if they win and get to that level, then maybe they might say, okay, we'll, you know, uplift the band and let you guys go to, like, if we make it to, like, if we're contending in the SWAC, I feel like they'll uplift the band. But if we're, you know, terrible again like we've been the past 2 years, they're going to keep the band.
I think the thing with that, though, is we're not dealing with the SWAC. We're dealing with the NCAA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And NCAA could care less about.
Yeah, you're right. We in Ohio State.
And it seems like, you know, this has been a constant problem, a constant problem over a decade for FAMU,
yeah,
because they've been saying there's in this article written by a former playmaker, G, shout out G. Mm-hmm. He came on the pod last semester, I think it was.
Yep. Yeah.
But we've been having problems since 2010. It looks like 2019, we barely made it for years and years. I can't believe FAMU couldn't, like, take the time to make sure academics was a focus for the players, especially because, you know, it's a problem. They knew that, like, the APR was going to be tallied at this point in time because it's every 4 years. You know when it's going to happen. Yeah. There's no way you don't know you're about to be punished. And it's always been severe. Like, so I don't see how we can't fix this problem. It's just doing your work. It's just doing your homework. You're in college. Like,
you know, mate, I was thinking about this one thing, and again, this might just be a theory, but it's you know, FAMU, we don't necessarily have any, like, general education classes. Like, you look at other schools, or you'll look at some of the Power Five schools, and they'll show their major. They'll be, like, general studies, general education. We don't really have that at FAMU.
We got interdisciplinary studies.
We do? I mean, so, like, what does that consist of? Is it just, like, what is that?
interdisciplinary studies is basically, like, you essentially build your own major. You take the class that you want to take, and that's pretty much it.
I didn't know that.
So, like, I knew somebody that FAMU doesn't have communications.
Mm-hmm.
So they took some J school classes, but they also took, you know, a lot of English classes, some other media type classes that it's built crazy, up to a communications degree. But it says interdisciplinary studies, but it's a concentration in communications or whatever.
It's good ball knowledge.
It's just a shame, like we said. Like, as really faculty, is. You got to hold your players accountable. Like, I know going back to my days of playing in high school, like, our coach gave us a standard for GPA-wise. I think our coach is like, look, I need you guys having a GPA above, like, a 2.8. And, you know, our coaches would check in with our teachers. They would talk to them, like, hey, what's this person's grade in our class? And if you didn't have that good grade, there was going to be a consequence.
And exactly. They were going to put you on the line. Like, we had days you come with our report
card. Meet me after practice.
Yeah, meet me after practice.
That's what I feel like Coach Gray got to do in a sense. It's like, even if it is our star players or some of the better players,
bring back that
team,
old school coach.
Go to them teachers. If you're not passing, you're sitting. I don't care until you get the grades right.
And at this point, this is not to cut you off, but like this is the season to do it. There's nothing to play for, so exactly. You know, might as well that's where you lay the foundation.
Mm-hmm. And like, because you got to make the punishment like worth the crime, because you know you sit a game, and you have terrible grades. Your grades didn't come up, but you might play the next game. You know, my coach. Make you lay down on that inline and grab your face mask and roll to the 50.
Oh no!
Ooh. And roll back.
I see
a couple people puke, man. That's
but
like
in a sense. I would make you sit the big games in a sense. Oh, you want to play against that state? No. So now
you know how I feel, bro.
That makes people transfer though.
I ain't gonna lie, bro.
If it make you transfer
from a personal level, this is our last year at FAMU. This is gonna be our last year at FAMU.
Yeah, these probably all our.
We talk about FAMU football at least twice a week with the Playmakers Live Show.
Yeah.
Kaysen doesn't let me on the live show no more.
Primetime sports, whatever we do. Like, we spend our time, and the fans come out. People pay to go to the games. People take time out of their day.
This year is a little.
It's
debatable.
A waste of time. This whole next season is a waste of time, and. For this to be my last year at FAMU, like, I'm overly blowed. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just needs to be held accountable. We can go out there and lose every single game, but that GPA comes up, then okay, good. Like, this doesn't matter anymore.
And
I don't
know
how players care. I don't know how fans are supposed to care. It's just disappointing.
For the alumni, too. Like,
yeah, that's
alumni,
exactly what I was about to say. This is FAMU.
They hard-earned money and make sure they get their season tickets before this season starts. Especially this year. A lot of fans were happy to go to the games instead of last year. And now, in a sense, it's like, what are we coming for? You guys can't even do what you got to do in a classroom to even give us a show.
Yeah, for all those fans that didn't go to FAMU that are tuning in, FAMU is a big alumni, like, showing up and showing out for your guys. Like, the alumni be out and brag for sure.
And they travel, too.
And it just makes FAMU look bad. Like, my homeboy in Colorado, he, like, that's literally the first thing he sent me. He sent me, oh, look at FAMU. FAMU got a ban from the postseason. And it's like,
It was crazy when we read it in the group chat. We were like, bro, what is going on?
We also didn't have a clue because it's not like we can check up on their GPA.
It just dropped on a Friday.
We think it's something in turn, and we like, great. We like grades, educate. Like, y'all can't do what y'all got to do in a classroom.
Indeed. It's embarrassing,
that's
man.
That's bad, man.
I think it's just worse that it's a buildup of over time. You know, if this was just a sudden thing, it's like, okay, well, you know, get your grades up, let's get this fixed. But no, it's been a constant issue over many years, and so it's like it's just years of neglect.
And they making it worse, like they low-key kept it, like, we're all right, we're not gonna publicize this, we're gonna give you guys time to get it right, and you guys still couldn't do it.
And it's casting a shadow over other sports, because right now softball and baseball are dominating.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Their grades are probably good,
and golf is having a golf is having a great year once again. And what are we sitting here talking about? How the football team can't get their grades together, man.
We knew the basketball team's grades were good. Charlie Ward and Coach Gore, and they said, oh, no, we got a 90-something or 100% graduation rate. Mm-hmm. So we ain't got to worry about them.
It's absolutely ridiculous for the program to be doing that. But, fellas, you know, this isn't on the rundown, but I just wanted to, like, bring it up really quick because it's very topical. The Masters was over the weekend. Shout out Rory McIlroy, back-to-back champion, first person to do it since Tiger Woods. Just had to get that in there because it's very topical. We don't show a lot of love to golf on this podcast, but it's a crazy thing to do. It's very historical. It hasn't been done. Like, three people have done it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm one of them.
Anyways, you know, shout out Rory. But moving on to the NFL, it's the offseason, so there's not a ton to talk about, but there's two things I do want to address. The draft is coming up. It's next week.
Mm-hmm.
So this poses a lot of questions. Because Jeremiah Love and a lot of people, not the Playmakers, but a lot of people from Outdrafts, supposed to go top five.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying four to the Titans. And what I want to pose to you guys.
I agree.
I did not agree to that, but all right.
Well, a lot of mock drafts are having him at four.
Okay.
This is
kind of crazy.
This is an Austin Kaysen type of question.
In the example I'm using, he's going four to the Titans, which is going to put him just about $49 million. It's $48.7 million. And a yearly value of $12.2 million. That would make him the eighth highest paid running back in the league. So does positional value affect how you draft? Because would you want to make a rookie the eighth highest paid player at his position just because of his draft position? Like, is it worth it?
I feel
like
position never matter.
Yeah, I don't think position really it matters. Matter. If you need a position.
Unless you're picking like 16, like if you're one of those better teams, but if you have a top 10 pick, you take the best player available.
And at the end of the day, he could be a top 10 running back by the end of his rookie year.
And we've seen Ashton Jensen, he was drafted with 6, right?
Yeah, I disagree. Exactly. I disagree with the philosophy of if you have a top 10 pick, you take the best player available.
What do you think you should do?
I think you should always look at fit before you look at best player available.
Well, apparently Jeremiah Love is also the best pick, like best fit for the Titans.
I don't think he's the best fit for him.
Well, they need everything besides a quarterback.
Yeah, so
it's like why not take a dynamic weapon like that? Granted, that's not the move I would make, but if that's their draft philosophy and he's at the top of their board at 4 and he's available, you take him.
But right, so if you take a top receiver, now, but $12 million for a receiver is nothing. $12 million for a running back is a whole lot.
But yeah, but we know how the markets change, especially for running backs. They're not really getting paid.
It's kind of trending up because Kenneth Walker got a little bit of pace, but he's still not a lot.
We all knew running backs were kind of on like the lower level where
that's why it's
like,
so crazy to pay him $12 million. You don't gain as much.
How's it crazy?
Because rookies, like,
do you not think that he can be a top 10 running back?
Yeah,
year?
That's what I'm saying.
I do, but like,
if you're picked top 5 or top 10 as a running back, you're like generational.
Correct. I'm not saying you're wrong. This is just a position that I thought of and saw and like thought it was very interesting because if you picking in the top 5, most of the people you would pick are going to be generational just because that's what they're mocked as. Mm-hmm. And okay, so you could pick a position that you get more value in like the books part of it. Like, so if you get a generational receiver, if you get a generational edge rusher, they're giving you more contract value in their first 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then you can pay your running back the same amount that's a proven. Mm-hmm. And so you don't even need to do that because you can save that money and not having the eighth highest paid running back that's a rookie. You don't even know what he's going to do.
Now, question. Yeah. What makes somebody generational, Wes?
Yeah, that's what
I mean,
I've always had a
that's not up to us even.
No, what's your criteria to make somebody
generational? A generational player.
What makes somebody a generational? If they're the best.
If they're the best at what?
I think we throw this
playing their position.
A bit too,
all right, who's the best running back in the draft?
Jeremiah Love is not
Jeremiah
generational.
Love.
Jeremiah Love.
Right. He's so not generational. So why can't he be generational?
He's not generational.
Why can't he?
Is he?
I don't know.
If he's comparable to Ashton Jensen, like, again, both of them are great running backs. But if we're comparing him to someone else that was just drafted last year, that's not generational.
I feel like
That's a good point.
I don't understand your point though.
I'm saying so we were like, Ashton Jensen is a great running back. You know, he was drafted top 10 to the Raiders, and now we're talking about Jeremiah Love in the same sense. Oh, he's going top 10. We could see him going number 4 to the Titans, and it's like, yes, they're both great running backs, but neither of them are generational because again, we're both talking about them like in the same sense.
But wouldn't that just mean they're both
generational? Exactly.
Wait, so here's
if they're both generational, how are they generational? I think it's Q's point.
Yeah.
What do you mean? They can't both be generational?
If you're once in a generation, how is there two of you in the next year?
Okay.
Yeah, that's more of what my point is.
There's generational players in every draft.
Is there?
Yes.
At the same position?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I think there's a difference in the NFL. I think there's a difference in generational player and generational prospect.
Just because
I think generational prospect,
they're not generational players yet. They're prospects. So
I think a generational prospect.
And Jeremiah Love is a generational prospect.
You can have multiple.
He's a Reggie Bush.
I don't think we've seen anything that hasn't showed us that he's not generational.
I don't think he's a generational prospect.
A generational player is someone like Justin Jefferson.
Right.
Because Justin Jefferson was drafted at what, 20-something, 22?
Yeah, well,
we weren't saying he was a generational
what he did in the NFL.
Player.
Right.
But we're talking about prospect
right now.
If he gets drafted in the top 4 through 6 in that range, which they're saying he will be, he's a generational prospect.
So Jamarcus Russell was a generational
prospect? At the time,
yes. He's a prospect, not player, prospect.
But here's my thing with prospect. It's like, what does Jeremiah Love have? Or like, what is his trait that you like?
What doesn't he have?
I don't think he's generational.
I don't think he's generational.
You got to stop looking at what he has. You got to look at what doesn't he have.
What you mean?
That's not how you judge a prospect. You judge them by what they have.
No, what are his flaws? Why wouldn't you draft him in the top 4?
But to me, it's besides
the position.
Like, to me, a guy that I think generational prospect is like when Jeremiah Smith gets here or like a Calvin Johnson. It's like, okay, you're this tall with this amount of speed, with this strength, and this amount. It's like, That's generation. Yeah. You're not really going to find
Jamar
that.
Chase.
Like, exactly. Yeah. You're not going to find that again in like another few drafts. With Jeremiah Love, I mean, again, he's a great talent, but like, I don't think you. I think you could find probably another running back just like him in another couple
so
drafts.
So who's the generational prospect in this draft?
Caleb Downs?
It's a couple of them.
Yeah, I would say Caleb Downs.
I would say Caleb Downs is the only one.
I don't even think Caleb Downs, though, in a sense.
What, he's mocked to go top five. He does the safety.
We've seen a lot of safeties like be versatile. That's his thing. Is you're very versatile.
Yeah, but.
But a 6 foot guy, like a 6 foot frame guy, like, bro, we've seen a lot of safeties be able to be versatile.
But yeah, but not top five. Like, yeah. He's going. Mm-hmm. Like, Kyle Hamilton went like 17 to the Ravens, I think
who
picked
went?
Him.
I think Jamal Adams got drafted.
Yeah, Jamal
high.
Adams.
All right, but, Wes, but factor into that. Where did Kyle Hamilton go?
I think he was drafted.
Notre Dame?
He might have been.
Where. All right.
Are you saying he's not generational because he's an Ohio State safety?
I feel like.
Wait, we hitting Ohio State?
No,
he's glazing Ohio State, saying he's like they're going. He's going high because he went to Ohio State.
Let's be real. We know a lot of people who go or like
Caleb Downs,
Bam, Ohio State. Like, we know those guys are going to go top of their class.
That's just because they're the best.
No, Caleb Downs is the top three player in the draft.
He's the best player on the best team in college. What are we talking about?
Y'all weren't the best team in college.
Yeah, Indiana was.
Indiana was definitely
what the whole playoff is about.
One of the best.
Miami wiped the floor with y'all, too. I forget that.
Oh.
No, he's right. he's right. What am I supposed to say?
Listen, so I want your final take on this. So you do not think it's a reach to take a person top five because of positional value and contract money.
I don't think it's
no.
You see, offensive linemen go top two, top three.
Well, they also get paid.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, I don't think position really matters. Like Trim said, if it fits, like, if he fits your team, shoot, take him.
Bounce?
Yeah, honestly, just like Trim said, if this player is going to fit your team, and most importantly, the offensive or the defensive scheme that you're trying to run, you go for that player. Doesn't matter how much money they could be making. If they're going to work in your scheme, they could really turn your team around.
Okay, so we're all...
Yeah, I have to agree with that, because you even look at, like, we're talking about the Titans, but you look past that, the Giants, who have a good running back room, still view Jeremiah Love as that good, where I'm still going to take him at five. Yeah. So in that type of sense, like, I think if they're a good enough player, then we're taking them, except quarterbacks. Like, you don't take two quarterbacks unless you're the Cleveland Browns. But
True.
Y'all are like...
Whack team.
We're the worst franchise you've ever seen in your life.
Like, nah, I've seen a
worse. It's horrible.
Nah, I've seen a worse franchise.
You know what's
Kings?
Crazy? Deshaun Watson might play next year.
The Kings are a worse franchise than y'all.
Well, Deshaun Watson was a multi-time Pro Bowler.
I mean, when's the last time you seen Deshaun Watson throw a pass?
Whoa. Please don't get me mad, bro.
Okay. I'm glad. I kind of, we talked about that. That your opinions on that was very, like, not what I expected. I expected somebody to take my side.
No.
Okay, but now we're talking reload or rebuild, our draft segment. We're doing quick picks because we're getting towards the end of the draft. First, we're going to start off with pick number 22 for the Chargers. And nobody has their mock draft pulled up.
For the Chargers, give me Kaden McDonald from
State. Okay.
Hey, you're going defense.
Dog. Yeah.
Chargers do need defense. Like
They need defense and they need a line.
That wasn't my pick.
I guess you could say guard, but I think they're good on the tackles. They just need Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater to come back.
True.
I'm not gonna lie.
Okay, so I'm the only person that was going offensive line?
No, I don't know how to pronounce his name. The lineman from Penn State.
The guard.
Yeah.
Oh, LaViega?
I'm taking a tackle from Georgia. Monroe Freeland.
Yeah, I think this is where I don't.
A lot of people have Olaviega already off the board, but if he's still there in your mock draft, that's a good pick.
I think they could use an edge rusher, especially with Khalil Mack getting old.
You
know, whoever the best available edge rusher is at this point, you know, you have T.J. Parker from Clemson. You have Mezador from Miami. You know, whichever one they feel like would fit them best.
Did everyone get their pick in?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Eagles, first pick, 25 or 23.
I'll go Caleb Banks.
Ooh.
Interesting.
For the Eagles? Ooh, dang.
No, that's a good pick.
Okay, here you go. I'm gonna go with Emmanuel McNeil Warren, the safety from Toledo.
Okay.
They just lost what's buddy name?
They lost who? Gardner.
They lost Blankenship.
Yeah, they lost Blankenship. Mm. They need to rebuild that DB room just a little bit.
Crazy. They can take O-line. Whoever's the best O-line.
Best tackle. Okay. Best tackle available.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. The Browns have the second pick.
Anybody.
They have the Jags pick.
Second pick?
Anybody.
Yeah, it's their second pick.
Anybody?
Oh. Wait,
the Browns have pick 24 from the Jags.
Easy. Omar Cooper.
Ooh, that's
who was our first pick for you? I know we're not doubling up a wide receiver.
I picked Carnell Tate.
I didn't have y'all taking Carnell Tate.
Who'd you have? Did you have an O lineman?
I think I did go lineman. Okay. I think I said the guy from Utah, Spencer.
Okay.
I'm gonna go Kaden Proctor.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's who I think we're gonna take. Kaden Proctor.
Good pick. Forgot about him.
We've been looking at him OD. We might take him.
I'm not mad at it. I just thought. I hope not. Maybe y'all. I looked at that receiver room a little bit for y'all. I'm like, y'all need at least.
Yeah, we got Carnell Tate. I think I wouldn't mind doubling up at wide receiver, but we need O line bad. So
yeah,
I'll go Kaden Proctor.
You don't believe in Jerry Jeudy, man?
No. You see, that's the reason why.
One year wonder, bro.
When you look at mock drafts, honestly, I agree, because this is where they said Mekhi Lemon goes, and they said, because he's definitely, they're saying that he's better than Jerry Jeudy, so
I mean,
it wouldn't be bad, because you got to get rid of Jerry.
Mekhi Lemon's a little small in the frame, but I don't think he falls that far because of that.
Yeah, I'm going Omar.
If a wide receiver falls, it'll be Tyson because of injury concern.
True.
But I don't think he should.
The mock draft I am looking at, he does fall to the Browns. I don't think he'll be there either.
Man, I would love that, though.
I think the Ravens will reach on him if he falls even that far. All right, who do we got? The Bears at 25.
I think this is Mezidor. They could use another edge rusher.
Yep. Either Mezidor or Falk.
Okay, so this
yeah,
was,
Keldrick Falk yeah, is what I'm looking
at
right now.
I had Caleb Banks going.
Okay.
That's cool. Mm.
I got C.J. Allen, linebacker from Georgia.
I like it. I think he's gone in most mock drafts already.
I didn't have him leaving yet, honestly.
Okay.
I C.J. Allen, so.
That's fair.
Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds, he getting a little bit older, bro.
He is. Mm-hmm. Q's team, Bills at 26.
I think Tremaine Edmonds Bills. Left.
I look. Yeah, didn't he retire? Didn't one of the Edmonds retire?
I don't think he retired, but I think he moved on.
He's getting old.
Anyways, Bills.
KC Concepcion.
Yep, I was going to say the same thing.
I got Denzel Boston.
You
first round.
We already got Keon Coleman.
Denzel Boston. What that mean?
They'll talk about Keon like that.
You know what, Q? I'm probably not right with you.
Concepcion, he has speed.
Concepcion, he's got that speed that y'all.
How do you feel about
him,
bro?
I'm going to disagree.
He's been dropping. He's dropped the ball.
I think he.
We can work on drops.
He also has, like, a big catch radius as well, though. Like,
yeah. I'm not saying he's not bad.
I got two people for you, Q. First and foremost, I think this is where y'all could go after Zachariah Branch.
Oh, that high?
No, that's way too high
for him.
That's way too high for him.
If that's too high,
that might not be, though.
Cut it, Mike. Cut it, Mike. A corner and a post.
If that's too high, then this is where you go defense.
I want to be mad at defense.
Either get Avion Terrell or Colton Hood.
I don't think we necessarily need a corner
too
much.
They just got Maxwell Harrison last year.
Yeah, because we have Benford, we have Harrison. You know, I think the Bills are good on corner. Maybe for depth, maybe we could focus on corner in later rounds.
Man, I hope y'all draft somebody trash.
I'm the only person that has Avion going like top 15.
I just need them to draft a receiver.
It's a hamstring injury that me, has dropped him.
I think I got Avion going to like the Cowboys.
I had Avion going the second Cowboys pick.
He hurt his hamstring in his.
I know he heard
it, right?
Bro, but
I'm telling you, he already had, bro, him and McCoy, bro, aggravated
at this
point. McCoy is gonna be in Cowboys.
That boy is crazy.
Them boys in press covers, bro, them joke is different, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, last pick of today, because spring break messed up the schedule a little bit, 49ers.
You got to go O-line.
O-line?
This is where I'm not even going to try to pronounce Buddy's last name, but from Arizona State, Max.
Shout out Max.
I'm gonna go Max. Okay, so this is where I go Colton Hood.
Ooh.
I think they need a little bit help in that DB room.
I think they fixed up their defense this offseason, did they not?
I don't think so.
Let me see.
I know they still got Jair Brown.
They
still
need
got
some
Lenore.
Offense, bro. Who's their wide receivers?
They got Mike Evans still.
They got Mike Evans.
They got Pearsall.
Isn't Kittle hurt?
No, Kittle's going to be back.
Kittle tore his Achilles, right?
Oh, they got Christian Kirk.
It'll be bad, bro.
And I think they got Greenlaw back too.
Yeah, they got Greenlaw back.
So, but
Nate Hobbs.
Greenlaw old.
They just got to stay healthy. If they can stay healthy,
they stay
healthy.
The 49ers
we're talking
okay.
about.
Oh, they low-key did a lot. They got I can't pronounce his last name, but the D tackle from the Cowboys.
Yeah, let me stop. I'm not even gonna try it either.
I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Listen, I'm excited to watch the 49ers. Shout out
they might
Jeff.
Be nice, bro.
Yeah, I'm going Colton Hood.
I agree.
Okay. Everybody get their picks in?
Yeah.
I believe so.
All right, we're going to move over to NCAA basketball. I know it's been a while. It feels like it's been a while, but we record on Mondays, so we're going to talk about it.
Hey.
Michigan.
Look,
shout out to Elijah Lott, man. Shout out to Law
for calling it. Shout out to Michigan. Definitely shout out to Cadeau, because Cadeau was balling in that game.
I ain't gonna lie, he
was a game changer.
He changed the game for them for those past two
Hitting
games.
The first three-pointer of a night for them and did not let up.
I did not think he could have two good games like that.
Look,
honestly,
that man was just attacking the rim with efficiency and was forcing UConn to foul him. And that was Michigan's game plan all night long. They knew that they had the height advantage, so they just kept on sending. I think his name is Maza. They had Mara just down low in the paint, who was towering over Reed. He locked down Reed as well, so UConn just didn't really have an answer. Yeah. And Michigan just, like we said, what they've been doing all year, they put their foot on the gas and did not let up.
Yeah, shout out Michigan. Mm-hmm. I got to give them that credit.
Indeed.
You know, I really dislike college basketball, and I know
there are some great moments,
but like, bro, it was 69-63 championship game. The head coach of UConn, Dan Hurley, came out, said in the broadcast his strategy was to use most of the shot clock to make it like a slower paced game and to get shots up at the end of the shots so he could drag them into deep waters.
It's a war of attrition.
Correct. It's a good coaching strategy, but we actually watched somebody's shot clock cheese. Like, we watched, and it's a longer shot clock, so 30 seconds of just dribbling.
Hey, are you saying it was a bad game, Wes?
I'm saying college basketball is boring. I'm saying that the way you win championships in college basketball is not entertaining to watch. Bro.
Hey, face of the franchise, but say college basketball is boring.
College basketball.
Not this franchise, a different franchise.
You better not say that other franchise.
All I'm saying, I'm not critiquing, like, Dan Hurley won 2 national championships, was very close to winning 3 in
3 in 4 years,
which is like a great coaching accomplishment. He's a great coach. It is so boring to watch.
Oh yeah. Also, I just want to say this further drives the point of having a veteran presence in these national championship teams.
They could absolutely dribble the ball at the top of the key.
All of Michigan's starting five was transfers. I think that says something. That one, that says something to the experience, and two, that might be a glimpse of what we're about to see going forward.
But it doesn't transfer to the NBA.
How do we know that?
How do we know?
Because nobody's done it. Janai Broome is riding the bench.
Hey, you watched basketball last night? You seen Zach Edey fry the Magic?
No.
It translates.
Hey, bro.
April Hoops do not matter.
It was the last game of the regular season.
No, but since the All-Star break, he's been hooping.
I mean, Zach Edey was a good player even in college. Like, he was doing something. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, Zach Edey was just.
No, I won't lie. I did not think Zach Edey would be as good.
I did.
Because when he was on my top 10, I was like, bro, that's kind of crazy.
Nah, top 10 might have been aggressive.
No, I knew he was a top 10.
I mean, not Zach Edey. I meant Luka Garza.
Anyways,
actually a dog.
My point is,
and Yaxel Lindeborg, he's jumping up the draft boards too.
My point is, none of those seniors that affected that national championship game that led to Michigan winning that none of them will be very effective in the NBA.
Yaxel Lindeborg,
you don't think Lindeborg and
Mara?
Cadeau. We just talked about Cadeau the whole time.
We're not talking about Cadeau. Cadeau, he got some work to do. The NBA.
Exactly. Lindenborg spent the whole game missing. What are we talking about?
Look at his whole body of work.
I'm saying that's not what I'm talking about, because he's a good player.
So what is your point?
My point is what contributes to winning national championships, not good players, because we see that Lindenborg is a good player, but that didn't contribute to winning that national championship because he had a terrible game because he was kind of injured. His knee had issues.
Right.
But it didn't affect that game at all because that game is ugly and mostly defense and dribbling and
so
running out the
clock. Don't like defense.
That's not what I said. You're not listening.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that the college basketball is ugly.
Right. And you watch Miami Heat basketball. Miami Heat basketball is ugly.
They scored more than 69 points.
But Miami Heat, you're
playing against the Wizards.
It's not about buckets.
You're playing against the Wizards
and
every
Bam scored more than the Michigan Wolverines by himself.
Next topic. You're not making any sense.
I am making sense. You just don't like what I'm saying. I can't say that the game is boring.
Yeah, but you can't say the game is boring, but then turn around and watch Miami Heat basketball game for 82 games.
Yeah, I can.
No, what you mean? Can.
I watched someone drop 83.
That's boring.
Well, when was last time PB knows James dropped 83?
He shot 50 free throws.
They were hacking him.
He next topic. Next topic.
Let's go to the NBA.
All right, man. We're going to talk about the NBA. That's going to be the bulk of the show because the NBA season is officially over. The play-in starts soon. But what I want to know is who impressed you and who disappointed you this season?
The Atlanta Hawks impressed
me. I'm going to be real. I'm going to go with the Celtics.
The Celtics impressed you. I
didn't think they would be a top three. I had them probably being a six, maybe being in that play-in.
I think I had them lower.
You had them in the lottery, bro. Look at that team. That team, before the season started, horrible.
But the East isn't very good.
They still had a good structure.
No, they did not.
Baylor Shire.
They had Anthony Simons. Just randoms on that roster.
Peyton Pritchard,
and they're dumping people because the contracts are too much. They're over the second apron.
I had them being like a play-in team. And I'm like, all right, Tatum gets back, then they could probably shake up. But them being a top three seed, I'm like, this is a little shocking. A team that disappointed me, I'm not going to lie.
Or just a person or a player.
I'm not going to lie, Trim. I had the Magic.
The
Magic are a very disappointing team.
I said before the season started, Magic going to be like a top four seed, honestly, after what I seen.
And they sold yesterday too.
The Celtics over under before the season started was 41.5. They're at 56.
Yeah, that's about a play-in spot though. 41.5 is about play-in.
41.5 will still get you.
No, you wouldn't have made the playoffs if you had 41 wins this year.
Yeah. But regardless, I'm just saying how crazy.
But it's still
was,
that
yeah.
range. It's still in there.
Yeah,
range.
It's still that play-in range.
Joe Mazzulla, coach of the year for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I think disappointing. Yeah, definitely the Magic after a couple last years of making the playoffs, you know, showing some promise.
I would give a surprising team is the Phoenix Suns. I thought the Suns were going to be absolutely garbage.
Yeah,
this year.
I did too.
Shout out Dylan Brooks. You know, Devin Booker's always doing his thing, and Devin Booker doesn't get enough credit for just going out there and hooping.
My surprising team, honestly, I got to give a huge shout out to the Charlotte Hornets because
absolutely, they were mine.
Honestly, they
the Hornets
I,
were so
y'all
bad.
Think they could be the 9 seed?
No, bro.
No
honestly,
one expected
had,
them to
I
make this
them,
big turnaround.
I had
man.
Them being like where the Pacers are right now, bro. I thought they were going.
I didn't have them that
crazy,
low, but like
I did.
What they're they had
dirt.
Like a top 3 offense. Like yeah. I didn't have them being so productive.
Yeah, yeah. They have the two leaders in 3-point makes this year. Shout out Khan. Shout out LaMelo.
Yeah, that was nuts,
man. And let me say one thing, or at least about a disappointing team. I didn't think they were going to be that good. Regardless. But the New Orleans Pelicans.
That's what I was about to say.
The Pelicans didn't have a first round pick this year. So they had no incentive to actually go and tank. And the Pelicans were still trash. The Pelicans were still 26-56 after trying for the entire season. And Zion playing 60-plus games.
Yeah.
It's so easy to forget he played 60-plus games because they're
crazy.
So bad.
Like, their roster, I swear their roster is good.
Yeah.
And every year, I fake believe in them for
exactly.
the past, like, 3-4 years. And not having their first-round
like,
pick
they have,
this
they
year.
Have good players.
They don't have their first-round pick.
Honestly, the
Derek
best
Queen kind of fell off towards the second half of the season. Like it's just
he did, but like their best rookies were Derek Queen and definitely Fears. Like they have something going. It's just that it's just like you said, JB. It's just a false sense of security, if you will. Like I don't know what the Pelicans need to do because Pelicans and the Washington Wizards have become the shadow band teams, if you will, of the NBA. Like.
Hey, don't put the Wizards in that combo.
Look,
what you mean?
Let's be honest. If a player isn't doing well,
you go to the Wizards.
The Wizards or to the Pelicans.
And the Wizards
they sent
to
down
good.
To the Wizards first. And the Pelicans is an upgrade, and then they go back to a better team. That's about it, though.
I don't even know how you fix the Pelicans.
You got to sell. I mean, one, you shouldn't. I think if they didn't trade their first-round pick, they would be in a great position right now. Because you have Jeremiah Fears, who's been really good the last month of the season. Zion healthy, Trey Murphy, Derek Queen, whatever.
Top 10 pick.
You could put, like, AJ or, like, somebody there. Like,
or even, like, well, I don't think they would have had a high enough pick for AJ. But even someone like Acuff could be a very good help to this team.
We don't believe in Jeremiah Fears?
I do believe in Jeremiah Fears.
Not that we don't believe
imagine,
in him. He just hasn't done it this season.
But imagine Fears off the bench.
No, that's real.
You know, leading your second unit. That's a good position to be in, and having Acuff and Zion pick and roll game like that that's a good place to be in. But
that's real.
Unfortunately, we're talking about things that are not going to happen because the Pelicans decided to trade their pick unprotected
for Derek Queen. I think another team, and it's definitely y'all can say it's kind of a reach. I feel like the Knicks were kind of disappointing this year.
That's not even a reach because
they're the three seed. Though, the three so seed. I don't want to hate.
Like what could
but
you
like? No, if you watch them play, they're just so inconsistent. And sure. The East was wide open before the season started. It was Cavs and Knicks. One of them are going to win the Eastern Conference. And
well,
the
then you could say the Cavs are disappointing.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, they are.
Well, I don't think you guys are the most disappointing. Like this is a 3-4 seed. Like the Pistons won 60 games. And, like, the Celtics were shocking.
But that's exactly. The problem, though. Like, no one was expecting the Pistons to make this big of a turnaround, yeah. If you will, in such a short amount of time.
Listen,
like,
defense Knicks, will take you far in the NBA.
It will, but that's the problem. That's what the Knicks basically built their team off of, if you will. Like, yeah. They were known for their defense, and
then they, said,
they just struggled.
Yeah. Let's go get Big Purr. Right.
Oh, I, said that. Yeah. I think you can say that. Yeah, I think you can say that. I mean, the Pistons were shocking, but... If you think about it, the Thunder have a great defense too, and the difference is just SGA and J-Dub. Like they're similarly built teams. Also, the Pistons role players can't shoot as well, but you know they're similarly built teams, and they're in the East.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. The East. It surprises me every time I look at the Pistons roster because their roster is not that good. Like I swear,
it's not. But we work together
as a team. It's a team sport,
especially when you have Marcus. We just have a lot of good role players come off the bench, man. You got Kevin Herter, who we just added, and now he's putting up meaningful points.
Sharp shooter.
You got
Have fun with Kevin Herter. Yeah, just wait and see.
Look, just wait and see?
Just wait and see.
I'm not too
that might
worried.
Be the Kings effect. I don't know.
As long as we still have our core guys, especially if Beef Stew is dropping points and not getting into fights, if Duncan is knocking down his threes, if Cade is doing what Cade does best, if Durant does what he's been doing, honestly, I'm not really scared.
Hey, bro, we letting everybody but Cade shoot and we're winning a series. If we're just being honest. Like, shout out to y'all. And Q saying, like, just wait and see with Kevin Herter. Just wait and see with JB Bickerstaff in the playoffs. Do you remember the Cavs versus Knicks series?
Oh,
that was all JV Bickerstaff.
That was bad.
So you have fun.
Yeah, again, I'm not even trying to hate on the Pistons, but I'm looking at this trio of Duncan Robinson, Tobias Harris, and Kevin Herter, and in a playoff.
Shout out Duncan Robinson. What are we talking about?
He's not on the Heat anymore.
What does that mean?
You don't have to be his friend anymore, bro.
He's not on the Heat anymore.
I still love that guy. He's like, I think he's still the franchise leader for most threes in a game for the Heat. Great guy.
Really, franchise?
I think so.
That's crazy.
He hit like 11.
That's impressive. And again, you know, again, the Pistons played great together as a team. But when it's the playoffs, you know, you're going to need some individual performances that are not Cade Cunningham. And again, playoff Tobias Harris, playoff Kevin Herter. I don't know.
Well, since we're talking about the playoffs, the Lakers are in a bit of a problem. They're heading into the playoffs. Luka's out indefinitely. We don't know when he's coming back. Reeves is out indefinitely. We don't know when he's coming back. Mm-hmm. They could make it before this series is over, but they're definitely going to start with LeBron as the number one option. 41-year-old LeBron. Are the Lakers cooked?
They might be cooked.
You know, it all depends on when Luka and Reeves come back. Holistically, their first matchup is going to be against the Rockets. No offense to the Rockets. The Rockets just are not that good this year. Yeah. Like, with this current Lakers team, I definitely see them taking down the Rockets. Now, it's not going to be a full
game. Without them.
You said
definitely? Taking them down?
You said definitely?
You have them winning the series.
I got them winning in six games.
That's like a lock? In six games?
You know what's funny, though?
What is Bron averaging, 40?
I'm going to be honest with you. Bron is my favorite player of all time.
Yes.
He cannot do it alone.
At 41 years old... The Rockets do suck, though. I will say that. They're a little shaky, but I do have the Rockets winning in five games.
It's one.
In five?
In five. Bron can get two.
I want to. No. He's 41.
I think it's five.
We got to stop. We have to stop these expectations.
It's 2026.
But the Rockets are going to win in five games just because, not because LeBron's washed. Well, he's 41. He's not washed. He's just, you know.
He's good. He's a good
You know, it's father time. It's his time. But top to bottom, the Rockets have a better roster. You take LeBron off this roster, they. Are without obviously with the interplay, you take LeBron off. This is they're contending for the number one pick,
right? Because what happens? What's gonna happen when Bron goes to the bench?
I mean,
he's not gonna be able to, bro.
If Bron plays 45 minutes,
I actually don't want to see that.
If we swap the names, LeBron, because he averaging what, how much, 20 points a game right now?
Yeah, 20, something like that.
26 and 7. Okay, let me think.
He dropped like 28 against the Suns the other night.
If you swap somebody like DeMar DeRozan with LeBron,
sure.
They're pretty much giving you almost the same production, essentially. I think DeRozan averaging about 20 points.
Okay.
Or Brandon Miller.
It's not the same, though.
Why is it not the same? Because his name's not LeBron?
No, yes. Because LeBron is a playmaker.
All right.
And six.
Like, he runs offense.
They're going to lose in five games. Like, come on.
Yeah.
No, this team does suck. Like,
who's their second best player right now? Luke Kennard?
I think if was healthy.
Is DeAndre Ayton back?
Yeah, he's not their second
best player. Yeah, Ayton's back.
Or Rui.
Hey, we get Ayton versus Capella.
Like, dude, he's going to... They're gonna dog walk him, and it's like they're gonna put him in so many pick and rolls. KD's gonna fry him. KD's gonna have like a 40-point game this playoff.
Nah, he
in
is
in this series.
He is,
and it's gonna get bad. And it's a 5-game series though. I'm gonna let you on that right now. It's 5 games.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 6, bro, because I got respect for Bron.
I do too.
I got respect for Bron, and that respect is giving him one game.
I actually don't want him to like play every minute and then like be hurt and hobbled over. Like
it's
that's gonna be
lose.
So sad to see. But yeah, this Rockets team does suck. Both of these teams should be first round exits. And it just kind of hurts my heart that, you know.
So there's no chance the Lakers are making it out unless Luka. What if Austin Reeves comes back? What if just Austin Reeves comes back?
One of them come back, I think
they got to come back by game two.
Yeah.
By game two.
Nah, LeBron can come back from 3-1.
If they go down 1-2, they're down 1-2, Austin Reeves comes back. Do they win?
No.
No,
so I think if they're down 1-2, I think Luka would have to come back.
Like I said, I got Lakers win this series, man.
Okay, but like how?
There's not. You don't believe that.
Like how do they?
I
win?
I do like
besides seeing the name LeBron James Sr., you do not believe that.
I think again, we got to remember what LeBron has been doing runs.
He's not 41 years old.
Yes, but listen though, I think LeBron is really going to become a masterclass coach and going to get his guys going. Mm. I think he's going to elevate their play and guys are going to step up.
Absolutely.
2018.
You know what, Bounce? I'm with you, bro. Lakers in 7.
So Luka is coming back to the States.
Yeah, he is.
This week. He's going to get reevaluated.
Today.
Austin Reeves is predicted to be back by the first week of May.
First week of May?
That means Austin Reeves is not playing the whole first round.
Sounds like it.
That means we'll see Austin Reeves back in October.
Indeed. But if Luka comes back.
Yeah.
Now we talk about something different.
It'll be Houston in six.
Houston in six?
If Luka comes back?
If Luka comes back,
I got the Lakers winning.
I ain't gonna lie. It could be Luka and LeBron's out and I would have the Lakers winning.
Okay,
it may go seven.
Luka is crazy.
It may go seven?
I just don't see it top to bottom. It's not like Luka's a two-way superstar. Yeah, he's going to give you 40 a night, but it's like...
That 40 a night is going to make a big difference.
Yeah, and like, who's he guarding that is going to give him, like... You can hide Luka on defense. Like, it's not like you
y'all
can't...
Y'all got to stop this hiding stuff.
Put him on a man. I wish Chris...
Yeah, put him on a man.
Put him on a man, Thompson.
A man doesn't...
A man's quicker.
Yeah, sink back.
I'm not going to lie. We got to respect the Rockets a little bit more.
That's what I'm saying.
The Rockets are going to win this
series. I think the Rockets stink.
Yes.
But they're still a way better roster.
And they got KD.
And they have a better coach.
They do have KD. They do have like, Kevin Durant.
KD, you don't like J.J. Redick?
KD don't be losing against
LeBron. He's a better coach. He's been to the finals.
Okay.
I think we're not understanding what the Rockets have.
I'm just asking you. I'm just posing you questions, posing you situations. I'm trying to see what you think.
Do the Rockets not have a better coach?
They
have a better coach.
Absolutely.
Do they not have a better roster?
They do have a better roster.
Right.
Yep. Even if the other two were healthy.
Even if they were healthy.
Currently, how it stands.
From 1 to 15?
I guess from 1 to 15, but that 1 through 3 is pretty,
no, it's
pretty
not.
Effective. What do you mean?
Right now, as it currently says, who's the best player in the series?
Kevin Durant.
He said if Luka and Austin Reeves were healthy.
Well, he's the second best player in the series.
If Luka comes back,
okay. It's still a very big three. Like that.
No, it's not.
They're the third seed, or they're fighting for the fourth seed. My mistake. I thought, yeah.
Even if healthy,
I was gonna say KD, Sengun, and Amen Thompson been kind of hooping though. I don't like Sengun, but like numbers,
Sengun's
like,
better than Austin Reeves.
Is he?
He is. He is.
Listen, speaking of better, Doc Rivers stepped down.
It's not better.
Not better. Ooh. It's better that he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
Doc Rivers has messed up multiple teams. He's now, that's what his reputation is, man. He's hurt people. They don't like his system. Everybody who's played for Doc Rivers says he's not a great coach. Doc Rivers is gone. One, how do you think about Doc Rivers as a coach? I need to
James
know.
James Borrego just
maybe Doc needs fired. To go down to college.
Maybe Doc needs to hop on a commentary.
Not James Borrego. James Borrego is included in the candidate job for the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I think he's the assistant coach there.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Anyways, Adrian Griffin was 30-13.
Yep.
When mm-hmm. he got fired.
Uh-huh.
He got fired. Hold on.
Now, Adrian Griffin was involved in some stuff.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Wait, that changes my whole point.
Because part of the reason was
he lost the locker room.
Yeah. It was some off the court stuff going on too, like.
You know, he's like Sharone Moore from Michigan, you know.
Ooh, off the court
stuff. That and like, yeah, it's some other stuff going on. I don't know if I can say it on.
But yeah, what was the question, Wes?
Well, first, how do you feel about the firing? Was the first part of the question.
He didn't get fired. He stepped down.
Whatever, man. He's no longer the coach. He's out.
But yeah, Doc Rivers left Boston because he didn't want to be part of a rebuild. He left. One, because the Bucks have no direction, no future, no clarity. And they also are about to rebuild and trade Giannis. So, yeah, but he did the right thing. Just retire Doc Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him in a lot of rumors. Like, he's in, you know.
You're about to be a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
NBA champion.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth among all NBA coaches in regular season wins. Fourth all-time in career playoff victories. He stepped down. Did you think that was the right choice? Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame coach.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What are you finna coach? Not Giannis no more.
Saying is he should have stepped down because the Bucks suck and Giannis is out.
Go coach a high school team or something.
He stepped down because what is he coaching for?
I don't know.
Coach with superstars. You had Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. You lost.
I guess so.
You can't develop young talent. You didn't have Giannis this year. Yeah, Ryan Rollins was, you know, in most player condition, but somebody got to score points for the team with no Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah. So it's like the Bucks wasted their money.
They still have to pay out his eight-figure contract.
They got to pay him, but the Bucks wasted money signing Miles Turner. He stinks.
Yeah.
They waived Damian Lillard. So it's like you have no flexibility on your roster. You have no draft capital. What are you doing?
Aren't they still paying Dame as well?
Yes.
For the next 3 years.
Yeah. Bucks are in Giannis. Shambles.
For the
but
Bucks.
Doc went 98-104 as a head coach there. He lost in the first round 2 years in a row to the Pacers both times.
Yikes. Pacers were good last year.
But it's just disappointing, especially when, you know, they just won a championship a couple years ago. Then you had to move on from Drew, had to move on from Chris.
A couple. Mm-hmm. We was in high school when they won the championship.
Wow, for real?
Yeah.
2021.
That was 5 years ago.
My goodness.
Trevor, you were in high school?
I was a junior in high school going into my senior year.
Yeah, because
Wow. I remember that final. That was one of my favorite finals ever.
It was one of your favorites?
Yeah, that was a good final.
The Bucks were down 0-2. I thought Chris Paul was going to get his ring. I wanted the Suns to win so bad. I like Chris Paul.
I was split.
I'm a D-Book kind of guy.
And D-Book has been slaving away on the Suns for a decade.
It was a win-win finals.
There's nothing really to talk about with Doc Rivers. Next topic.
Yeah.
I mean.
You suck, buddy.
Yeah. Just long story short, it's just like you said, though, Trim. Like, Doc Rivers stepping down was a good decision. But moving forward for the Bucks, honestly, it's just time to trade away Giannis. Like, this love-hate relationship is not going well. It's just a headache. Just trade him away. You can get some good players and picks from it. Just do it. There's no point in playing Ring Around the Rosie anymore.
Last piece, though, before we do move on. Mm-hmm. The Bucks are in the lottery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know the NBA has a knack for just finessing the system and rigging the lottery.
Mm-hmm. No way.
They're not doing this for Milwaukee.
Absolutely not.
If they trade Giannis away.
Yeah. To who?
Let's say they land the number one pick. The conversation is like, okay, do you trade Giannis or do you trade the number one pick for a superstar? Like, what do you do?
You trade Giannis.
You do.
Yeah.
They're broke. They're broke.
I definitely think you do.
They're in. Because I
promise you, Giannis and whoever one of the three guys you're going to pick is not going to move anything. because you just did this whole thing with Giannis and Dame, and Giannis and Peterson is not going to get you anywhere. Giannis and DeBance is not going to get you anywhere. Giannis and Boozer is not going to get you anywhere, because you have to have guys three through, at the very least, guys three through eight, you know, to be somewhat good.
That Bucks pick, I'm trying to find the information, but it's not fully theirs.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they get the least favorable in something like that.
Bro, Atlanta, they're no, just,
Atlanta,
oh my God.
Atlanta gets the best pick of New Orleans and Milwaukee, but yeah. New Orleans is going to have the tiest pick.
Milwaukee, I mean, you just have to stop, because they've been trying to win now, and they've been making trades, and they've been signing people, and they've been doing this and to win now, and it's costing them so much.
So Atlanta's just like fully, I mean, not Atlanta, New Orleans is just fully screwed.
Yeah, they don't have a pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Because they traded completely unprotected.
Because it's three teams involved, New Orleans, Atlanta, Milwaukee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Atlanta gets the highest pick of New Orleans and Milwaukee. Milwaukee gets the second one that's going to be in the lottery. New Orleans gets nothing. Like, that is like the dumbest trade in NBA history.
Yeah.
There's no way.
For Derrick Queen. Shout out to Derrick Queen.
And though. I like DQ. But there's no way.
Just, they won, what, 22 games this year? Like
26 and 56.
He should have won rookie. He had to have one rookie of the year for that to be like some type of sensible.
Man, trade Zion too, man. Everybody blow
trade
it up.
Please free Trey Murphy, bro. Everybody blow it up.
Send him to Orlando.
No.
Anyways. All right, the last thing I want to do is I want to preview the first round. We're going to start off with the matchups that are set, so we're not going to be talking about play-in matchups.
Okay.
Are we not going to talk about that?
We did the last podcast. We talked about the play-in line. But, so we're going to just assume people won in those matchups in the playoffs. We're not going to talk about the play-in.
We can just say, like, who do you have coming out the
East? Yeah, because the play-in didn't change.
The play-in didn't change. Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah
but
tomorrow 7:30.
We have the Rockets beating the Lakers. We've talked about it.
In five?
Rockets in six.
Lakers in six.
Rockets in five.
There we go.
Lakers in six.
Hey, somebody hit a Shannon Sharp, man. Nuggets and Timberwolves. Who do we have?
No
this
Ant.
This is interesting.
No Ant.
No Ant. You got to remember, no Ant right now.
I thought Ant came back.
He's going to be playing by next week.
Yeah.
You think he'll play in game one?
Yeah.
Or game two?
I didn't know his injury was that bad.
Me either.
Yes, Ant got the same knee injury that Steph had.
As long as he's back by game three.
And Steph was out for 2 months.
Hold on, let me.
Yeah, let's look at it really quick. Hey, editor, also cut this out.
Yeah,
he's a game time decision.
Wolves don't need
game. Yeah, because he came.
The Wolves don't need game one anyway.
What?
When is he coming back, Chuck? Where's that?
Well, I'm looking for it.
Who's editing?
We're gonna find out.
Why is the first thing that pops up Anthony Edwards child support?
You know,
actually, we're gonna find out who's editing.
He walked into the
Jamal's editing the rundown, but not saying he wants to be in the pod.
He spent his first 2 years. He should just edit the pod.
Yeah, he might have to, man.
Rookie duties.
Well, I'm not saying
this is the same knee injury that Steph had. Steph missed 27 games. Ant has been out 10 of the last 12 games. He would have to be on some type of roids to come back and play.
Well,
it's playoffs.
I think I'm gonna just assume he's playing. I'm not going.
Whether or not he plays or not, I'm still picking the Nuggets.
I agree.
Nuggets and how many?
I'm taking the Nuggets in six games.
Barry,
I'm taking Nuggets. I might go seven. Nuggets and seven.
I'm going Nuggets. Nuggets and seven. I mentioned
I think that's a safe way to go.
I mentioned the Timberwolves don't need game one. So even if Ant missed the first game or even the second game, those are still home games for the Nuggets that I would assume they would win. And if the home team just wins every game, that just adds up to Nuggets and seven.
Bounds?
Honestly, with the uncertainty of Ant-Man returning, honestly, even if Ant returns, I don't know if that's going to do too much. I do have Nuggets in like six games.
I am going to take the Nuggets in six.
I think that's fair. I just love the Timberwolves.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm saying. The Wolves are built for the playoffs.
And they beat the Nuggets like 2 years ago.
They did,
but I don't know.
Man, I was in Spain when that happened too. I couldn't watch any of the games.
You were in Spain?
Yeah.
Man.
Whoa, what, just okay. Dropped a flex on the pod? What just happened?
It was study abroad.
Okay.
It was study abroad in Spain. And like all the games were like at 2 a.m. All the playoff games were at 2 a.m. So I wake up, see Timberwolves beat Nuggets in triple overtime. And I'm like, wait a minute, I missed everything.
You got to stay up, bro. You're not committed enough.
I couldn't.
Cavs, Raptors.
Are we not talking about the 1-8 and 2-7s?
I'm going to do that after because we're going to have to talk about the play-in. We're going to have to talk about the play-in.
Raptors and Cavs?
Yeah, Raptors, Cavs.
It's a nasty series.
This is a nasty series.
I'm going Cavs in six, though. I think the Raptors are will give them a little bit of competition.
Sure. Bounce?
Definitely got to go Cavaliers in six.
You know what's crazy?
Did I say Raptors or Cavs? I mean Cavaliers.
Yeah, Cavs in five. But
I don't know if I misspoke.
It's always this one playoff series in the Eastern Conference that's like so disgusting to watch.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago in 2024, it was the Magic Cavs, obviously. You know?
But that turned out good.
It was a nice seven-game defensive series.
It was a seven-game series.
But, you know, that he was up double figures at halftime. Blew a lead, lost, but neither here nor there.
Yeah, Cavs in four. By the way.
Four or five. Yeah, Toronto.
Actually, James Harden is bound to have a bad game.
Toronto has no reason being here. And if Toronto wins this series,
you know, Brandon Ingram can win a game by
Brandon
himself.
Ingram, Scottie Barnes should be in.
They have no business being here. And if the Cavaliers, they have no business being here. Their roster is disgusting and clunky.
No, it's not.
It's disgusting and clunky. You have RJ Barrett, Brandon Ingram, and Scottie Barnes.
It's working.
Two out of those three players cannot shoot the ball, though. Like, that's the thing. And it's. I don't know. They have a great coach, though. I like their coach.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take
Cavs in four.
But yeah, still Cavs in six.
In five.
Imagine we lose, guys. If we lose, like.
No, you should blow up whatever, whatever Ross do have left, Trey James Harden, whatever hamstring he has left.
No, y'all about to see me the most stress you've ever seen me. When it comes to Cavs playoff basketball, like, it's horrible.
No, I understand.
Browns, did you say?
You understand?
Yeah, I do understand.
You said what?
Cavs and six.
Cavs and six. All right. Hawks, Knicks.
This is my favorite series of the first round.
Boy.
Well, my favorite in the East, and then my favorite in the West. We'll get to that in a minute.
Do you believe in Dyson Daniels?
No, I believe in Nickeil Alexander-Walker.
I guess so. He has been cooking, actually.
Jalen Johnson will be a playoff flopper. I'm putting it right here.
He probably will be, but I like the Hawks to win in six.
Okay.
Six or seven.
The Hawks to win?
I got the Hawks in six too. Is nuts. I disagree.
Hawks seven. The Hawks have been playing some of the best basketball in the conference.
Yeah, but experience will win out.
Their experience is not that good.
The team isn't that good and experience will win out. Just because they're hot right now doesn't make them winning a playoff series.
CJ McCollum in the big 2026?
Yes.
No one cares about CJ, bro.
CJ and Nickeil have playoff experience.
Isn't CJ a known, like, playoff dropper?
No, he's a playoff riser.
Yeah.
Do y'all not remember what he did? I believe that was 2019 when they went to the Western Conference Finals.
Portland and New Orleans. CJ Hoops in the playoffs.
When did New Orleans?
What are you talking about?
They're just saying things.
You know what?
Are you talking about Portland?
I don't know what he's talking about. I'm talking about Portland.
What you mean? Hold on.
I thought you were talking about when he was in New Orleans.
He did it?
No.
Not in that series when they played the Suns?
Look, man, all I know... the Knicks just have not been impressive to me this year.
I don't recall.
Like, with that
in
mind.
You might have a good memory. I don't recall, though.
Didn't Zion Williamson get hurt in the play-in game?
Yeah, he did.
And didn't make it?
He got injured, like, right in the middle of that play-in game.
What are you talking about the Pelicans for? I thought he was talking about the Trailblazers.
I'm talking about Blazers.
I know he's talking about the Blazers.
He said Pelicans.
You said Pelicans?
I know. He made a playoff game with the Pelicans.
I don't think that's right, man.
You gotta tweak it.
Last time the Pelicans were in the playoffs, wasn't it AD?
Yeah, I don't think Zion's ever made the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know if you're correct about that.
No, Zion was hurt. Zion was hurt for that playoffs, but they played the Suns in a playoff game.
Was it straight belt?
No, it was like six.
That was the year the Suns.
Brandon Ingram was going crazy.
That was the year the Suns blew this that is lead so to.
Yeah, I don't know why we're talking about this.
Okay, yeah, he's right.
All right,
well, shout out Q, man. Ball knowledge.
They went in the playoffs in 2024?
Really? Yeah.
They lost to OKC.
What?
That's so shocking.
I thought the Grizzlies lost to OKC.
That was last year.
Yeah, that was last year.
All right, let's do the 1-8 seeds, man.
We can talk about this off air.
We can still talk about Hawks Cavs. Hawks Knicks. I think the Hawks winning is a crazy take, guys.
Yeah,
crazy.
Me too.
I got the Hawks here, man.
Crazy.
It's three of y'all?
Yes, like
Knicks and six,
the Knicks have not looked that impressive.
I've watched the Hawks and Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Jalen Johnson play some of the best basketball I've watched all season.
Absolutely,
I'm telling you,
that's regular season, 20 plus games.
The playoffs. We have Kat, who is experienced in the playoffs. Jalen Brunson experienced in the playoffs. Mikal Bridges experienced in the playoffs. OG Anunoby.
So if he played the Pistons in the first round, who are you picking?
Pistons.
Pistons in four.
Did he have the experience?
The Pistons are a better team.
The Hawks are a better team.
No, they're not.
Trim. Yes, they are.
Trim.
They've been playing better as of recent.
They are the better team.
The Knicks are the three seed for a reason.
The Knicks have a way better roster than the Hawks.
No, they don't.
Every position,
top
just
to
about.
Bottom, 1-15. I disagree.
All right, bro. Well,
I think we're looking at names right now.
Yeah, you're gonna have to edit next week. I don't know.
Okay. How am I gonna have to edit?
I don't know. It's so aggressive that I feel like you should edit.
Bounce. Why you got the Hawks?
Holistically, the reason why I have the Hawks, like I said, the Knicks just have fallen off for me. Like, I can't look at this Knicks team and confidently say they can get past the Hawks.
I mean, do they have an injury I don't know about? Like, you guys are acting like this is a terrible team.
They're not playing good basketball.
Correct. It's the playoffs. They're all going to step up. It's the playoffs.
Jalen Brunson in the playoffs is crazy, y'all.
He's never been out of the second round.
But he be that's Cal.
I lied.
But
still.
He be averaging like over 30.
Here's the reason. Josh Hart, ankle injury. Jalen Brunson, ankle injury. Carl Anthony Towns, elbow injury.
They finna be all 50 perks, bro. They not finna
be
that.
Yeah, they're all going to play.
OG Anunoby, ankle injury. But yeah, I don't know, man.
And Tom Thibodeau's gone.
Wait, Mike Brown's
Mike
better?
Brown's doing the same thing that Thibodeau was doing.
I guess
though.
He is, but still, yeah. Like, it's not at least
like
Tom.
I said, it's going
was,
to crumble.
And we and the Hawks still have Quinn Snyder too. Like,
Quinn Snyder's a very good coach.
Listen, if you said this in the second round against a different team, this team
y'all
not,
are smoking though.
This is not going to happen. The Knicks are not going to have a first round exit.
I can guarantee it. I'd be willing to put like real money on it, bro. Real dollars on the line.
Right.
Listen, let's talk about the 1-8 in the East. Do we have the?
Absolutely not.
The Hornets? The Hornets coming out to be the AC?
No, it would have to be. It had to be the.
No, it can be the.
No,
Hawks.
It can be the Hornets. It can be the Hornets or the Heat.
It can be Hornets, Heat,
or
Magic.
The loser of the Magic and the.
So we're assuming the Hornets beat the.
The loser of the Magic and Sixers.
Yes,
I can assume that.
You can assume that.
I think the Magic are going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. Too.
Me too.
Which will give the Grizzlies another lottery pick.
Yep.
So we would have the Hornets being the 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey,
and where do we have the Pistons Hornets being?
Hey boy, the
Pistons
Hornets might win.
That's a 7 series.
That's okay.
A
Hornets.
That's
seven.
A 7 series.
Is Kate back? Kate's not back.
Kate is back.
Kate's back.
He's been back.
Kate's back.
Okay. Pistons in 5.
Yeah, I say Pistons in 5. I think Hornets get one game. They get like game 3 or whatever, just so.
Bro, they might have like an exciting
guys,
2-3 game. 2 game 3.
They have the best shooting team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
and that'll give them a game.
Against the worst shooting team in the Eastern Conference.
I'm gonna say the Pistons in 6 games.
Bro, imagine like
Hornets gonna give them a scare.
LaMelo and Khan both hit like 6 threes, man.
I might go Hornets in 7.
Nah, that's nuts. That's nuts. That's really nuts. And I don't know if you want to stand in that one, man.
I was talking about how good
the Hawks are playing. The Hornets are playing really close to that. Like, if we could see it, if we like wanted another, like if we could predict the 8 seed going far, out of all the teams in the playoffs, I'm predicting the Hornets out of all the 8 seeds.
I mean, okay, I'm gonna say Pistons in 6.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Pistons in 6 too.
They be standing on this Hornets thing, man.
That's just a bad matchup for you. Like, I get defensively y'all are crazy, but, like,
offensively?
They shoot defensively. The Pistons are crazy.
Yeah.
But, like, the Hornets shoot the ball the most.
Yeah, great offense. It'll be a great series
to
watch.
They shoot the pigskin off the ball.
Bro, they have, like, the top 3 out of the top 5 most three-pointers made by a player. And I hope that makes sense. Regardless, they shoot a lot of threes, and they make a lot of them, bro. I'm going to go Hornets.
Khan and LaMelo are around 273.
I'm going to go Hornets in 7, bro.
That's nice.
272, 271.
Shout out to Detroit, though.
I still got
no
Pistons in 5.
Pistons in 6.
Pistons in 6. So that'll mean the Celtics will play the Sixers?
Nice 4-game series.
Belt.
Belt?
Yeah, they might win 4.
Good
bro.
Gucci belt. Yes. Belt, you feel me?
Yeah.
Everybody belt?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Embiid is out, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Embiid is
Embiid
out.
Is out.
Right.
Yeah, never mind.
I was about to give him one game.
I was because like
no, Celtics it's belt. Yeah.
No playoff P. Nobody playoff P.
Playoff P will come there.
All right, come on, man. He's washed. That's right. Washed right there.
What we got next?
All right, who do we have being the 1-8 in the West? Would it be the Clippers? No, the Clippers.
I would give it to the Clippers.
Yeah, Clippers beat the Warriors tonight. Tomorrow.
Beat the Warriors and then beat the Blazers.
Yeah.
Okay. So OKC versus the Clippers. How?
OKC in 6.
6?
I agree.
I say 6. Yeah.
I agree.
Wow.
The reason why. I think Kawhi's going to stay healthy. He's going to make this a competitive series.
I don't know if they'll get 2 games. Kawhi going to get a game.
Kawhi going to drop 40 in the L, man. I think
Kawhi and Garland are going to do their thing.
I mean, Shea's hooping too right now. I'm gonna say OKC in 5.
And you know the Thunder going to troll too.
Maybe, probably. I don't know.
Yeah,
the Thunder are liable for at least one troll game.
Thunder and 5, bro. Shout out to
Thunder and 5. Spurs versus
Suns.
Yeah.
Spurs and
4.
Spurs and
7.
Spurs and 4. 7?
Spurs and 7. First playoff series of their careers.
You're right. Yeah, Spurs in five.
Suns. I think the Suns have been really good this year. I'm gonna go Spurs.
Have you not seen how Wemby's playing?
This one of those series where like the Suns win the first game and then it's just Spurs.
Yeah, and then I can see Spurs in five. I'm gonna give it Spurs in five.
Yeah, Spurs in five.
All right. Well, we got the whole first round planned out. Some of these takes have been crazy. JB stood on Hornets over the Pistons.
I think an 8-1 upset is crazier, bro. I don't. Yeah, I'm standing by.
Y'all did awards. Y'all did awards last.
Yeah, we did awards last week, man. Should have showed up.
I forgot. You forgot.
It's real.
Yeah. Forgot is so That's nuts. Real? Like, how long you been doing this?
I just lost track of time. Exactly. I'm getting old. I'm like Bron.
You are
y'all.
Getting old,
bro. 40.
Pushing 30.
I told you I'm like Bron, man.
Where's this outro? That brings us to our favorite part of the podcast, the shout-outs. I want to shout-out the playmakers in the booth, God, my family, all that good stuff.
Man, shout-out to the playmakers. Shout-out to the young bulls in the studio, man. It's been a long journey. I'm going to go on a spiel next week. You know, next week's my last show. It may be my last show. If Jay Scott's on next week, that'll be my last show. I got to have it on Jay Scott. No glaze.
Who's going to shed some tears?
No, I'm not going to shed no tears. I don't think. But yeah, man, shout out to the Magic. It's been a long season, been a great season. Hopefully by next week,
it's been a great season.
We're gonna be on the couch, and that's what I'm really hoping for. I hope we're on the couch next week.
Wow!
So we can just fire our coach.
So the Grizzlies can eat good.
We're eating good. We got Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane has been the best player on the Magic this year. Shout out D Bane, man.
You're only getting this long outro because it is almost your last one, man. You need to stop.
Next week's gonna be so long.
Oh my god.
But yeah, I'm going to call it quits right there. Shout out my Lord and Savior, too, if I didn't mention it already.
Absolutely. Shout out to God, man. Shout out to Mito.
My fault. I ain't mean it. My fault. I mean to cut you off. Shout out, Mito. I got Capstone tomorrow.
Good luck.
Yeah, I needed that.
Yeah, actually, yeah, shout out to Mike, bro. Oh, my God.
Prayers up for you. Shout out to FAMU. Actually, I have nothing good to say this week. Shout out to God. That's it. Y'all pissing me off.
It's real. Shout out my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout out my mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Shout out to myself. Tomorrow, 21, if that's how you say it.
Oh, turn up.
Hey. Yes,
shots on cue. Or shots on us. Can we say that? My bad. Cut this.
We go flight.
We'll
Somebody
see. I'll get back to you on that. But regardless of that, yeah. Oh yeah! Shout out to the entire state of Mississippi, with the exception of Madison County.
We hate Madison County, man.
Yes, indeed.
First and foremost, gotta give a shout out to God. Gotta give a shout out to my family. Shout out to Michael Trim. You know, it's gonna be a little lonely in the booth without Unc. But that's all I gotta say.
He didn't even hear that. Click the link in our bio to give us some feedback. If you want to give us some feedback at 905 The Flavor or 905 The Flavor Sports, we would love to hear from you guys. Halftime with the Playmakers, produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.